So it's about 9 minutes to midnight. My name's Keith Brindle. I'm the vicar here. It's lovely to have you here at this service. So a priest was preaching on Christmas Eve, and his sermon was quite long, so be prepared. His thoughts were scattered, he rambled on, and he was a bit difficult to follow. At the end of the service, one of the churchgoers, let's call her Anna for argument's sake, surprised him when she commented, "Your sermon tonight reminded me of God's peace and his love." And the priest was slightly flattered, and he said, "Really, how come?" And she said, "Well, it reminded me of God's peace because in the way it surpassed all understanding. And it reminded me of God's love because it seemed to endure forever." Let's pray. Lord, help us to see beyond the cozy fluffiness of the manger to what you want us to hear from you this night. Amen. There's a story about an old Jewish man who would get up at dawn and go to the Western Wall, the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem, and he would pray there from morning to evening. One day, a journalist from the Times, who'd observed him do this day after day, asked him, "You come here every day and pray at the wall. How long have you done this, and what are you praying for?" The old man replied, "I've come here to pray every day for 25 years. I pray for peace and reconciliation among the people of this land who are so divided by hate and conflict." The journalist was amazed. "How does it make you feel to come here every day for 25 years and pray for these things when so much conflict remains?" The old man looked at her sadly, "Like I'm talking to a wall." Every year, around this time, we hear Bible passages and sing Christmas carols about peace on earth and goodwill to all men. We light candles and we sing Silent Night, All is Calm, All is Bright. And it's beautiful. And perhaps it's even nostalgic for many of us. But does it really make any difference? If we look at the world around us, we see all the unrest, the violence, the pain and the brokenness. And we wonder, is peace really possible? Of course, we don't need to actually look that far to see signs of pain and brokenness. We can look within ourselves. We can find restlessness and division in our own hearts. We feel the ache, the longing for something more, for our lives to be well and to be whole. Is peace really possible? We can pray for peace within ourselves, in our relationships, our nation and the world. We can yearn for it. But after a while, we wonder if we're just talking to a wall. Is anyone listening? As one peace advocate put it, it can feel like banging your head against a brick wall. And if you're lucky, you might make a tiny crack. The walls that divide us from one another, that divide us from God, that actually divide us from ourselves, are strong. And the world isn't as it is supposed to be, and you don't need me to tell you that. Our lives are full of highs and lows, but they're not as they're supposed to be. God had, still has, something else in mind. It was on his mind in the beginning when he went about creating the world and everything in it. A vision for shalom. Shalom is an Old Testament Hebrew word that we translate as peace. You've heard it again and again in both our readings. And it means so much more than just peace. It means wholeness, flourishing, the interconnectedness of all things. the way things are intended to be. It means right relationship with God, with one another, and with ourselves, and with the whole of creation. But we mess things up. We disrupt the shalom. We fracture relationships. The word is sin, but it's a word that carries so much baggage that it's not much help to us these days. But it's our human tendency to muck things up. And when we do, up goes the walls. Walls around us, walls between us, walls within us, and our hearts are divided. But God refused to leave the world a mess, fractured and broken. God refuses to have a world with so many walls, so many divisions. So what does God do? God enters into the mess, into the darkness, into the brokenness. God comes to be with us among all these walls. This is what Isaiah is prophesying about. He talks about a child who will be a light in the darkness, a Messiah, a Saviour, who will come to draw the world back together, draw people back to God, usher in God's shalom, God's peace for all people, for all nations. And he has a name, Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, Jesus, which means God saves. And his face is a scrunched up, ruddy face of an infant baby, so helpless and so vulnerable, born into straw and poverty to a teenage mum and her fiancé. And he's bringing in another kingdom, a kingdom of peace, where righteousness and justice meet in peace, in shalom. A peace that is not just the absence of conflict, but the presence of something, of justice, beauty, goodness, wholeness, God's very spirit. A peace in which walls come down, and we can finally be at peace with God, forgiven and put back in right relationship. And we can experience peace with one another, overcome our divisions, and move towards one another in love and understanding. This child brings this peace, makes this peace, which seems impossible, possible. This is the impossible possibility. A God who is able to do what we, in our own striving and effort, can't do. This child who would grow up into a man, fully God and fully man, and who would lay down his life in a sacrifice of love, only to burst forth from the tomb 3 days later and be crowned Lord of all. The impossible possibility. And now the world can really be different. No wonder the angels sang out on that Christmas day, glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth among those whom he favours. So tonight and during the Christmas period, we sing, hail the heaven-born Prince of Peace, hail the Son of Righteousness, light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. In this child born in Bethlehem, a kingdom of peace has come. But it is a kingdom of peace that there's not yet here in its completion. So the Holy Spirit has been poured out onto us to join God in this work of peace that he is doing in the world. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be sons and daughters of God. Let it begin with each one of us. Let it begin within our own hearts. What is impossible for us is now made possible with God. God, give us the courage to bear witness to and to play our part in the impossible possibility of a different kind of world. Now, you may think that I am talking fancifully about this impossible possibility of a different kind of world. You may think that it's all quite quaint for the vicar to be talking about a child, the Son of God, born on Christmas Day, who will bring peace into the world and who poured out his love and his spirit so that we could join God in his work of peace. You may think that it's a lovely Christmas Eve message from the vicar, but it's not the real world. So let me end by telling you about Denis Mukwege from the Democratic Republic of Congo in Central Africa. The Congolese war has led to the killing of at least 5 million people since 1998. And though it has officially ended in 2003, it continues in the east of that country. And through that war and continuing on, rape has been a tactic used to brutalize communities to control the country's mineral wealth. Denis Mukwege is a Congolese gynecologist and a church leader. 20 years ago, he founded a hospital in his hometown where he specialized in the treatment of women who had been violated by armed militia. Mukwege has treated thousands of women who have been victims of horrific abuse, performing up to 10 operations a day during his 18 hours working day. The hospital, which is managed by the Pentecostal churches in Central Africa, has cared for more than 40,000 women, not only with operations, but also with providing holistic care, legal support, psychological and social support, so that they can begin their road to recovery. In September 2012, in a speech at the UN, Dr. Mukwege criticized President Joseph Kabila for not doing enough to stop what Mukwege called an unjust war that had used violence against women as a strategy of war. The following month, he was targeted by gunmen who broke into his home briefly took his daughters hostage. His trusted friend, his close friend and security guard, was killed during the attack. Today, he lives under the permanent protection of the United Nations in the grounds of his hospital. He says, "I don't have much of a social life. In fact, I have no social life." For Mukwege, the work he does is because, in his words, Christians must connect with practical realities, else we will not be able to fulfill the mission entrusted to us by Christ. We must be the voice of the voiceless. We must be beacons shining in a world of darkness by fighting for justice, truth, human rights and freedom, in short, for the dignity of both men and women. Dr. Mukwege was this year's two Nobel Peace Prize winners, and he received his prize for his efforts to end the use of sexual violence as a weapon of war. In this child born in Bethlehem, a kingdom of peace has come. A kingdom of peace that is not yet here in completion. So the Holy Spirit has been poured out onto us to join God in this work of peace that he is doing in the world. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be sons and daughters of God. Let it begin with each one of us. Let it begin within our own hearts. What is impossible for us is now made possible with God. God, give us the courage to bear witness to and play our part in the impossible possibility of a different kind of world. Amen.